If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
You ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You have placed defiled food on my altar. But you asked, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden! And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. Will you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices? Should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. As we continue our sermon series entitled Relentless, this morning the title of my message, this sixth message in the series, the title of today's message is Relentless Excellence. Relentless Excellence. The passage that is before us takes place when the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem had rebuilt the temple and resumed their religious life, but they became disillusioned and began to lose hope. Consequently, their worship degenerated into a perpetuation of mere forms. So God here chastised the priests for their mediocrity, for the mediocrity of their offerings. And I believe that God speaks to us today about our passion and our enthusiasm and our excellence when it comes to worship and it comes to offering what we have to Almighty God. This presents a picture of the believer's lack of excellence in what he or she offers to God. So this morning we're going to look at this passage, and we're going to look at it and pray that the Lord will give us understanding of what it means to offer to God relentless excellence. Relentless excellence. There are so many things in life that are important to us, that we put our best foot forward, that we do our very best. But I wonder if what we offer to God is our best. Is it relentless excellence? This morning we want to answer the question, what must we know to serve God with relentless excellence? What must we know to serve God with relentless excellence? We trust God will speak to our hearts through this message today. As God speaks to the priests who were in charge of the sacrifices, in charge of the ritual, God is not pleased. And we find here that the first thing we need to know to serve God with relentless excellence is that what we offer God reveals our attitude toward Him. What reveals our attitude before him. The Lord says to the priest in verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. But if I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. You see, as we find later on in the passage, the offering and the sacrifice have become a mere ritual, have become a mere form. Their heart wasn't in it. And they would bring imperfect, blemished animals to the altar to offer as a sacrifice to God. They would bring something less than their best. And God says, it is apparent, priests, that in doing this, you show contempt for my name. What we offer God reveals our attitude toward him. You know, if you have the type of a job where you are responsible to a boss, and you have to produce work, a report, or some type of tangible proof of your work and your effort to one of your superiors, I'll just bet that when you do that, and if you have a big presentation, or maybe a group of bosses, or a group of peers, I just bet that when you prepare that, if you want to put your best foot forward, I bet you put your all into it, don't you? You have all the facts, and all the contacts, and all the charts, and everything that needs to be assembled to make that the very best report or the very best work you can, because you are giving it to someone who can pass judgment on what you do, someone to whom you are accountable, someone to whom you are responsible. We somehow forget that what we give to God, the effort, the sacrifice, we talked about obedient sacrifice last Sunday, the finances, the things that we offer to God, the way that we serve God reveals our attitude toward him. It reveals how high our regard is for Almighty God. Can I ask you this morning, are you giving God what is due him? Are you offering to God something that, you know, we sing songs this morning about what a powerful name his name is, and how awesome God is, and how good he's been to us. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do our offerings to him, and I'm not just talking about finances, does our mode of serving him, does what we bring to him every day of our lives, how do you know every day, every moment of our lives, we are, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we are offering something to him, we are bringing something to him. The way we live our lives is an offering to him. Do we understand that this morning? I believe we have to ask ourselves, does our lifestyle, does our offering, does our mode of serving him moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, year by year, does it reflect that he is the awesome God? Does it reflect how much we say in our songs we love him, and how valuable he is, and how precious he is to us? You understand my point this morning? It's so easy to sing the songs and to express the sentiment of how precious and how awesome and how wonderful and how valued and cherished our God is to us. But the question we have to ask ourselves every single day, you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, is God, am I offering that to you which reflects my expressed regard and value and love for you? How would you, what you give to God, be evaluated? Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Teachers, when you teach a Sunday school class, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. When the praise team sings our songs and plays our songs, it is not for entertainment value. It is the Lord Christ we're serving. When the sound men man the sound booth, it is the Lord Christ they're serving. When the greeters greet folks at the door, it is the Lord Christ that they're serving. When we do an act of kindness or have the opportunity to do an act of kindness for someone in the name of the Lord, we need to know that ultimately, yes, we're serving that person, but ultimately it's the Lord Christ we're serving. Whatever you do, Colossians says, do it with all your heart. Because what we do, how we offer, what we offer to God, what we give to Him, reflects our attitude toward Him. And you know what? God loves praise, and God loves worship, and God loves to hear us sing our songs, but only if it's a true expression of our heart. Because God could care less about beautiful sounding sentiments. God couldn't care less about a flowery language. God cares about the heart. God cares about the heart. What we offer to God reveals our attitude toward it. 2 years back, an American Express survey about Christmas gifts found out the one gift that was considered most often the worst holiday gift. You want to hear what that was? Fruitcake. I want to take a little informal poll. How many folks here like fruitcake? Third, maybe? How many can't stand fruitcake? About 2/3. Yeah, I'll, my hand's up. I can't. A comedian used to say years ago, there's really only one fruitcake in the world. Nobody ever eats it. They just give it around to each other at Christmas time. I can't prove that. But I'm sorry, you fruitcake lovers. God bless you, but the majority are with the rest of us. In the poll, it even finished ahead of no gift at all. When asked how to dispose of a bad gift, 30% said they would hide it in the closet, 21% would return it, 19% would give it away. So, the moral of the story is if you like fruitcake, check the expiration date on that package, okay? No, if one of your the people that receives your gifts loves fruitcake, then by all means, go ahead, God bless you, give it to them. Better find out first, okay, if the poll means anything. Because what we offer, when we give a gift, we give it with the person in mind. If we're a good gift giver, we don't give something that we would want necessarily. Unless you live in the same household and you plan to use it yourself. But you give because of your attitude, because of the high regard, the love, the affection you have for someone. What kind of love and devotion to your Creator, to your Savior, does the way you serve Him reflect in your love for Him? How much does what you offer to God reflect your love for Him? What we offer God reveals our attitude toward Him. Second thing we need to understand to serve God with relentless excellence is this: God is never pleased with less than our best. God is never pleased with less than our best. The priest asked, "How have we shown contempt for your name?" The Lord replies, "You've placed defiled food on my altar." When they say, "How have we defiled it?" The Lord says, by saying the Lord's table is contemptible, bringing blind animals, bringing crippled and diseased animals, less than what the law required. In other words, less than their best. And in verse number 10, God says this. He says, "Oh, Listen to this. This is God speaking, the God of the law, the God who had ordained the ritual. He says, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I am not pleased with you. God says, I wish one of you would shut the temple doors. I wish you would stop offering useless fires on my altar. What does he say? He's saying, I wish, I am so disgusted. He's saying, I wish you would abandon the rituals of worship. Because that's what they degenerated into. Ritual. Ritual. Keep in mind, this is the God who established the ritual. This is the God who ordained the building of the temple. And yet he said, I'm disgusted with your worship. I'm disgusted with your offerings. I'm not pleased with you. Church, it's so easy to go through the form. It's so easy to go through the ritual. And I'm not preaching this message to be hard or harsh today, but I believe God is, listen, I told you, God, before I can preach a message, God preaches it to me. And I'm asking myself, how much of what I do has degenerated into a form, into a ritual, into a meaningless routine? God forbid this morning. Church, I want to bring an offering that's pleasing to God. I want to bring an offering that warms the heart of God, that God sees as a genuine offering of myself. I want to preach sermons, not just to preach another sermon, but to deliver the word of God and to give him my very best because I want him to be pleased with it. I've heard, I don't know how many preachers say this, and I can say it myself. You know, I'll minister sermon, I'll preach sermons, and folks will come up afterward and say, Pastor, it was a great message. You've heard me say this before, and I appreciate that. I'm not saying stop doing that, because I'm human like everybody else. But I often find the times when I don't feel like I'm connected. You know, you have times you feel like whatever you do, you do well, and you kind of really, you know, just hit it. But I find times, man, I just don't feel like I'm connected. I don't feel like I can get the words out. I don't feel like there's a flow. And I often find that there are those times when God uses the message the most. Why? Because I didn't do my best? No. But because when my best wasn't perfect, it was still offered to God as an act of worship, and he used it for his name's honor and glory. And that's the same with you. We're not talking about perfection today, okay? And there are, listen, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many of you are by nature perfectionists this morning. I know you're out there. And I can say, if you're a perfectionist, you hear this morning, you see if it doesn't ring true. Sometimes it can just almost kill you. Right? Because man, you just everything has to be perfect. You will never be perfect. Nothing you do will ever be perfect. And perfectionism, and probably a lot of us have a touch of it, even if we're not consumed by it. But perfectionism will wear you out. It will tire you out. It will rob the joy of your life. We need to write it down in our little book. We're never going to be perfect. But we can all do our best. We can all give our best effort. God is not looking for perfection. Only he's perfect. But he's looking for our best. Our best. Sunday school teachers, he's not looking for you to glance at your lesson for the first time at the stoplights on the way to church Sunday morning. Or just kind of wing it and say, hey, I'll figure it out as I go. Some people are really good at that. What is it? Our best. I've had a few times in preaching where I've just kind of winged it. And listen, I've been doing this a long time. I've been in full-time ministry for now 39 years this year. I can wing it from time to time. But I don't do that. I try to prepare. I try to hear from God. I try to do my best for him. How about you this morning? Is what you're offering to God your best. Came across an article, it was entitled, What Not to Buy Your Wife. I'm just going to pass this on. Fellas, if you find this useful, this didn't originate with me, but first of all, number one, don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is seen as utilitarian and is not always most appreciated. Now, this disclaimer, I haven't always followed all of these myself, okay? That my wife... That you agree with, okay? She says amen to that. Don't buy clothing that involves sizes. Chances are, if you get the size right one time in 7,000, you'll offend her the other 6,999 times. Avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win you any favor. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. Somebody said, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford, and the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want. I'll let you decide if that's true for you. Somebody said, guys, don't buy your wife frilly underwear. Your idea of the kind your wife should wear and what she actually wears are light years apart. I no commentary on that. Finally, advice said, don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that, she'll ask. But on the other hand, don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, is that all I'm worth? So guys, good luck. That was humorous. I don't know that it was very helpful. But what to give God is very easy. We don't have to fret over it. We don't have to worry about it. We just need to give Him our best. Let me challenge you to do this. Make a conscious effort. Do this. Do this every day. And anything you do. Challenge. one place. He said, I die daily. And what he meant by that is he said, my human nature, my flesh, in order to please God, my flesh, my human nature needs to die every day of my life. Because the flesh wants its own, doesn't it? The flesh wants its own desires. The flesh wants to be on easy street. The flesh wants to be clean. Our human nature wants to be coddled. And rendering excellence to God, reckless excellence to God, is almost all the time the very antithesis of pleasing your flesh. It's the opposite. And so, what do? We complain. What a burden. What a pain. I'm tired of this responsibility. It's so like in the average church, 80% of the people, around 20% of the people, do 80% of the work. That's probably not far off. If you're caught 20% of the time, you want to get something done, especially in the church. You want to be the person. The type of person is super. The type of person who values excellence. When you're 20% who does 80% of the work, you want something better. Thank you. God, your servants, that's the word of the best we have.